Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The HSE has a series of booklets and videos on how to talk to your child about relationships and sexuality. Now, there are resources in place already for younger children, but today we're talking about the latest one to launch, and this is aimed at 13 to 18-year-olds. One of the main takeaways is that there is no need for that one big talk. Think of it as a series of small talks instead. And the info is all available on the HSE website, sexualwellbeing.ie/4parents. And Moira Germain is the Education and Training Manager with the HSE Sexual Health and Crisis Pregnancy Programme. And she joins me now. Good morning, Moira.
Good morning, Claire.
Firstly, let's get back to the basics. How important is it for us to talk to our children about relationships and sexuality?
Do you know, it's actually vital. A lot of the time, parents feel that, you know, this is something for schools to, take the lead on. But we have engaged with parents, you know, through research. And we found that, you know, there are so many benefits to actually the parents beginning this education in the home. And they're doing it anyway. From the moment the child is born, parents are giving, you know, messages around bodies and gender roles and all the other things. So the more that they can be aware of those and do it consciously, the more they can give the messages that they want to.
And outcomes are better for children in their relationships, in dealing with their sexuality, any problems that might arise as they go through life, if we have those conversations with them, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, and we've actually found that good parent-child communication has a protective effect for children and young people, that they generally, you know, delay having early sex.
Is there proof then, Moira, that children listen to their parents about sex, but particularly this age group, 13 to 18-year-olds, where they might be less inclined at this time in their lives to listen to their parents?
Absolutely. I mean, parents sometimes feel that they're a bit redundant at this stage in their children's lives, that they're getting all their information and support from other sources. But the research actually tells us that young people want to talk to their parents and parents want to talk to young people. They just sometimes, you know, have this kind of miscommunication. So it's really important that parents actually understand this, that even though it might seem like their child is pushing them away, that actually beneath it all, the child is still, and the child and the young person is still looking for that connection and guidance. Mm-hmm. And although they may be getting information from lots of other sources, they do need kind of a sounding board to be able to consider and filter all those messages.
And then when it comes to who should talk to boys in the family, your research shows you that boys would like to hear from their fathers as well as their mothers. Is that not happening enough?
I'm afraid not. And that isn't to blame fathers, because obviously if they hadn't been supported in the past, it's a very hard ask to suddenly be expecting them to be, you know, ready and able to have these conversations. So it's very important for us to support fathers to understand that this is part of their role and a valid part of their role. And they can bring something that if their co-parent and that the mother can't bring, you know, that they can bring, I suppose, the sense of positive masculinity, you know, and give their sons a role model.
And Moira, some parents don't do this at all. They stay silent. What message does that send to a child?
Sure, Claire, isn't silence a message in itself? Mm-hmm. You know, that often children take from that somehow this is a topic not to be discussed, that it may be shameful. You know, that there are all sorts of negative messages that can be inferred in the silence.
And of course, we're talking about the 13 to 18-year-olds, but in an ideal world, you'd have started those conversations much earlier, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And our big message to parents is it's never too early and it's never too late. So, you know, for parents with younger children, from the time they are born, you're giving them messages. So, you know, from the very start, the infant, they're getting their messages about relationships from how you hold and cuddle them and how you sing to them and talk to them and all those bits. So that's their need at the very beginning. And then as the child grows older, you know, the twos and threes and they're asking why questions. that's, you know, the time to begin talking to them about their bodies in a positive way, including their genitals, you know, not to kind of ignore that, using the proper names. You know, sometimes parents feel, oh, you know, can I actually use those words? But of course you can. These are words that are just words. You know, for the child, they don't have the loading that they have for many adults. So it's really important, and it's actually protective. You know, the research would tell us that children being able to talk about their bodies in an accurate way is protective of them.
So coming back then to the teenagers from 13 on, their sense of sexual orientation becomes more solid, doesn't it, Moira, around this stage? They'll hear a lot of chat about gender. So how do we talk to them about that?
Well, there are two things there. There's both their gender identity and their orientation. And this goes back to why we're talking about relationships and sexuality. So we're talking about a very broad notion of how people are sexual beings from the time they're born to the time they die, and how their sexuality is really about themselves and how they express themselves and understand themselves as sexual beings in the world. And part of that is their gender identity. And part of that is their sexual orientation, like who they're attracted to. So around this time, you know, the teen years going into young adulthood, certainly around gender identity, that has been developing from, you know, probably a very early age. The vast majority of people will understand themselves to be cisgendered. They may not use the word, but basically that their gender and their sex assigned at birth are aligned. For some people, you know, as they grow older, then this is something that they find it's not aligned, that actually they may identify as transgender. And this is something that we refer to in the booklet and that we signpost people onto sources of support if the child and the parents need it. And again, around sexual orientation, who you're attracted to. This is very much a thing of adolescence, you know, when people begin to feel their first attraction to somebody. So again, you would, you know, suggest that this is important for all young people and that parents would, I suppose, treat it with the respect and support that it needs. And certainly if the child needs additional support, then there obviously are organisations like Belong To that can provide that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, how they look can become very important to them at this age as well. And if they are very self-conscious, Moira, very caught up in their body image, and a parent is concerned about that, what can you do?
Well, I suppose the first thing, if we can kind of take it back a little bit further, we need to be aware of how we talk to our children about appearance from the very start. You know, we have a big tradition of, I suppose, complimenting people, particularly girls, for how they look and their appearance, which can give the notion that your appearance is more important than anything else you do or any of your other achievements or qualities. So the more we can actually catch ourselves doing that, the better. And it's incredibly important that, you know, a parent would, I suppose, keep an eye on how their child is. You know, obviously some level of concern about this is normal. And for some young people, it can become, I suppose, you know, an issue that can be problematic. Mm-hmm. So the more we talk about bodies and their capabilities and what they can do and focus on health, and also be really realistic, particularly when the young people are, you know, beginning to consume media, about how artificial it is, you know, how it is about actually doctoring or changing the images so that they're acceptable, you know, to a wide population.
Listening to you, Moira, it all seems to come back to starting very early on with these conversations. And I noticed you touched on other sources of information for children, social media, school, peers, and so on. But one that parents will be concerned about now is the availability and the accessibility of pornography. And that can be a very tricky conversation for parents to have. How do you advise that they deal with that?
Well, I suppose the first thing would be to take a breath, to calm down. You know, this is obviously a concern for parents, and it is real, and it is something that young people do need support with, because we know that pornography is widely available. So the first thing we would say is that obviously for younger children, that parents would be well advised to look at their smart devices and to put safeguards on those. But we would also say that it's not useful for parents to rely on that as a safeguard. We know that children and young people many of them will come across pornography, either deliberately or accidentally. And it's really important that the relationship is strong enough so that it is more likely that the child, and particularly when the children are younger, that they will go to the parent if they see something that's worrying or concerning them. And as they get older, that you work with your child and young adolescent to be more critical of what they're seeing. And you can start that by actually, you know, looking at what's freely available in everyday media, you know, in the programs you watch, in the music they're listening to, and just support them to think about how does it fit with the values that you've been trying to instill in them from the beginning, mm-hmm. of respect, consent, mutual pleasure, you know, all those things. So a lot of it is around supporting our children to grow up to be autonomous, independent adults who can critique all this information and stuff that's coming at them.
Yeah, and as you say as well, you can't wait for yourself as a parent to be perfect, to have all of the facts and have the perfect conversation with your child. You're saying it's more important to start that conversation, is it?
Absolutely. It's more important to start it and to have, you know, to have times when you think it was a disaster and to have times when it's funny. And, you know, we've all been there. It is about just those small conversations that you have in everyday life that will actually build that relationship so that when your child and young adult, you know, does have concerns, difficulties, questions, that they know that there's a safe harbour to come to.
Just letting people know again that all of the information you've been discussing is available now. The booklets for the different age groups on the HSE website, sexualwellbeing.ie/4parents. Maura, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Claire.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.